You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It seems to me that the Democratic Party, Nicole, has been pushed by struggles in the street, have been pushed by movements in the street. But I don't know what's its agenda, what its agenda is apart from those movements. Mm-hmm. So what is the passion? As I said last time, I'm not sure. I'm still struggling to figure it out. But maybe it has to be from ordinary people in the streets demanding a different kind of world than what white Christian evangelicals are arguing and fighting for.
Wow. This is May 11, 2022. That is a Princeton professor, Glaude. We're going to hear more from him over the next 2 hours. And as far as many on the left, it all comes down to race, which means if you are not of their color, you're the racist, not them. And, of course, we're going to throw religion into it. And there are a lot of black Christian evangelicals even. Now, what's the difference between evangelical in general and Christians? I'm going to try to do something today that I'm going to admit right away. I'm not a professor of theology. But I'll share what some others think about it, and more importantly, as to how we're seeing it weaponized again, that if you support conservative views, if you don't want your children to be taught in grades K through 3 that your penis doesn't mean you're a boy, or you don't want them to be taught that you should feel guilty because you're privileged, because you were born white, or you should expect that your children will come home one day and say, I want a sex change. It will make me my life better. And all of that aside, the latest polls and surveys show all of this progressive nonsense, the CRT, the critical race theory, hinging on racism, the agenda for LGBTQ, whatever. And I told you, I've got gay friends. I care about them. I really do. And they are, most of them are more conservative than you might expect. They're not log cabin Republicans that's specifically designed for that. But they also don't like what's going on in this country. But you can put all of that in one box and put it aside when you're asking Americans, what is your biggest concern right now? And that is putting food on my table. First, do I have a job? And you should, because there's something like 5 million job openings. But, of course, we also have a horde of illegals coming across, a tsunami. And we have those being brought in for sanctuary, true sanctuary, out of Afghanistan, out of Ukraine, and we have others who have legally applied to be working in this country, but Joe Biden is passing all of those folks by. He's basically making it ready for illegals to be able to get work permits right away. So if you don't have a JLB, or maybe you left one job to go to another and it's not panning out, going back may not be that easy. And on top of that, as you heard in the news a moment ago, once again, inflation for April. So tell you, did I not tell you it would be higher? And it is 8.3%. It's lower than expected. Whoopee. In other words, the balloon won't get quite as big, but it's still sucking up everything when it comes to food costs, food delivery to the grocery stores, fuel to get the food to the grocery stores. And restaurants are doing the best they can. It's still a good value in many cases, sometimes not. But at the same time, they have people that are relying on that, and you. And everybody's being squeezed from all levels. You can't just stop everything. This administration would, and it started us on that way. The moment Joe Biden got in office, it started shutting down and destroying our infrastructure by saying we're not going to use fossil fuel. And now he's realizing that blew up in his face. How would you explain Joe Biden anyway, a lot of times, if you were the press secretary? That's a very interesting question, because a new press secretary is coming in. Wait till you hear about her qualifications and her mindset. You'll have to ask again, who's pulling the strings? A lot to cover. Streaming live right now at rumble.com. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I do want to ask as well, I mean, the Department of Justice was very swift in responding to school board members who felt like they were being harassed and intimidated a couple months back. Does the president feel that the demonstrations outside of, say, Justice Alito's home, are those attempts to interfere or intimidate?
Well, I think I said yesterday, but I'm happy to repeat because I think it's important for everybody to hear, that the president's long-standing view has been that violence, threats, and intimidation of any kind have no place in political discourse.
Right. I should have said correct. Because it's okay if it's going against the right. You understand? You follow me on that? Left, right, and wrong, correct. Let's do it that way. There was Jen Psaki being asked a question again about the federal law under a U.S. Uniform Code of Justice, basically, that you cannot intimidate and try to sway the votes of federal judges. That's a fact. It's a law, period. Now, I will have to say this, that any judge that would change their mind on a decision simply because protesters are outside the house shouldn't be in the position to begin with. But they have family, and at their house, maybe they're okay, but folks on either side of them that live there, they're worried. Now, so far, let me stress and emphasize, these protests at the justices' homes, the conservative justices, and last night, of course, Alito, who that leaked document indicated the court is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's not really going to overturn it. It's not going to abolish abortions. It's simply ruling on a Mississippi case. It sends everything back to the states and let the states decide. But as always, don't let the facts get in the way of a good lie and narrative. Bottom line is, these protests have been peaceful. Now, today, they're scheduled another Wednesday walk-by, I think they're calling it, to go by numerous of the justices' homes again. It is a right of First Amendment speech. But if there's a federal law that says, yeah, you have that free speech, but you can't do it here under those circumstances, then it's a violation. But you don't see the justices calling for federal marshals come out and round everybody up and charge them. You don't do that. Howsomever, if conditions were reversed, do you not expect that they would be enacting that federal law immediately and pounding peaceful protesters into the ground? Of course they would. And of course, while Saski summed it up and said, the president does not think violence of any type is good for public discourse. Again, they have not been violent. The protests are still peaceful, still within the First Amendment rights. But then she just can't help drawing the knife herself and saying, but you know those other guys.
What I do find is interesting, and I think many people have noted, is that there are voices on the right who have called out protests that are happening while remaining silent for years on protests that have happened outside of the homes of school board members, the Michigan Secretary of State, or including threats made to women seeking reproductive health care, or even an insurrection against our Capitol. So I know that there's an outrage right now, I guess, about protests that have been peaceful to date, and we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position. But the silence is pretty deafening about all of the other intimidation that we've seen to a number of people.
That's because they really don't count. First of all, they don't fall under federal law except for the January 6th event. And I'm against that. I've told you that repeatedly. But as a reporter, as we began the segment and her question to Saski asked, you've got board members of various county school districts who felt intimidated because folks were coming in and speaking their mind at board sessions. And when they wouldn't let them stand up and speak at an open hearing, then they felt intimidated, and then they wanted them arrested. And then they together put together, with the help of the White House, I remind you, and the Attorney General's office, a letter saying such parents had come to those board meetings, they might be treasonous. They might actually be extremely dangerous. The hypocrisy is the easiest thing for me to give you every day, and you know it. I mean, it is like it's in your face as clearly as the tip of your nose, period. It's there every day. Now, hypocrisy exists on both sides. I'm not going to deny that. But what we're getting from this all the time is excuse, evade, a head fake, a duck, and jump around and hide behind that screen and shout whatever you want. And then come out from the other side and say, well, we're okay with what we did, but you do the same thing, it's not right. Joe Scarborough of Animas NBC. He said, I'm looking at some of the remarks, he said, that I keep hearing about Biden. And in particular, he was referring to statements that have been made recently by the senator who was calling Biden out and basically saying that he was compromised in so many ways. We're talking about Rick Scott of Florida, not Wisconsin, which I think Biden referred to him as such. But Rick Scott was saying basically that everything coming out of the Oval Office seems to be confusing, partly because Biden is always confused, and just not sure the man is up to the J-O-B, that he's just suffering too badly, and we all see it. Well, Joe Scarborough, he's not going to sit there and let the president be called demented or incapacitated in any way. They all stand ready to fight, even though in the back of their own mind they have to think, he's probably right. The senator's probably right about Biden, but by God, I'm going to have my say.
I love these Trumpers, Jonathan Lemire, that that defended a guy that was proud of the fact that he could, like, spot a water buffalo, dog, cat, cow, woman, camera, or whatever it was.
Never that said he had
Donald
a problem.
Trump is still going around bragging that he doesn't have dementia, according to this test. And the things that he said, the rambling, I mean, he just is lost when he talks so often. And the fact that Trumpers go after Joe Biden, unbelievable. Hey, Joe's not Shakespeare, okay? Nobody ever said he was.
Not
Joe
even
wasn't,
Joe
wasn't Shakespeare 40 years ago, right? But again, seriously, you're a Trumper? And you're criticizing Joe Biden because he's not articulate? That's kind of crazy, but it got personal awful fast.
Personal awful fast, as if suddenly making a remark about the president, that's pretty damn personal, and it got personal awful fast. Do you remember possibly all the names that Trump got called when he got in office? Even on the day he's being sworn in. Do you remember those talking about some actors even saying, you know, maybe we need to have another Lincoln assassination, things of that nature? I mean, that gets pretty personal awfully fast, too. Did you hear Joe Scarborough call out that and say, that is wrong, guys, you shouldn't be doing it? No, of course you did not. It's always going to play the way they stage it, not the way it is. Staging. You know, for decades in the news business, news anchor and reporter and so forth, often with TV, there were reporters occasionally that had to caution that they were, it looked like they were staging something. Now, it's one thing to say you're doing a recreation and admit that's what you're doing. But when you say the call to 911 and the police car came screaming through the intersection with the lights and everything going, and you shoot a car going through the, and you don't just happen to catch a police car. You get an officer to go down there, start up his car, and turn the lights on and come through with the lights running. Or getting a fire truck pulling out of a firehouse. And you were not there when the fire truck pulled out, but you restage it. You're staging the event to go with your story. If you're doing it, you're going to say we're recreating, okay. Then you're being honest about it. But Joe Scarborough is not being honest that, my God, they're attacking Joe Biden. They got personal awfully fast. Ignoring the fact of all the attacks on Trump that were, continue, and will be. And for anyone associated with him, or anyone who might have voted for him. But again, back to these protesters and the federal law that says you cannot, that it's illegal, federally illegal, to try to intimidate a judge, a federal judge. Jen Psaki says, well, yeah, there is the law, but.
The silence is pretty deafening about all of the other intimidation that we've seen to a number of people.
This is a pending court case, though. That's where the federal law comes into place. This is a pending court case.
Well, but I think that intimidation and protests and intimidation outside of the homes of school board members, the Michigan Secretary of State, intimidation and threats against people seeking legal reproductive health care and against our capital and American democracy also warrant some outrage. And we haven't really seen that.
See, it's the same thing. It's an echo chamber. And she's got it down pretty pat. In the beginning, she would do her circle back. I'll circle back to you. Well, now she's coming at me. She's got the patented answers. And she's ready to go. They're not going to answer your question, but they'll serve her purpose. And they'll serve the purpose of the administration. That's really what the press secretary is supposed to do. Let's be honest about it. The press secretary is supposed to give the best, shine the best light possible upon the president and his actions. Even if he's 180 degrees wrong, he's right when the press secretary finishes. Which brings us to the fact that this is Jen Psaki's last week as White House press secretary. This is it. This is officially it. And she's now named who's going to be coming in. And Tucker Carlson took that up last night as, who could you find that could replace Jen Psaki?
Who could replace her? Is anyone qualified? Is there another person in this country as shallow, nasty, and partisan as Jen Psaki is? Well, there is. Her name is Karine Jean-Pierre. Listen to Jen Psaki describe Karine Jean-Pierre.
First, as you all know, she will be the first black woman, the first out LGBTQ plus person to serve in this role.
The first black woman and out gay person to speak for the president.
Becoming the first black woman and LGBTQ person.
The first black woman, first openly gay person.
The first black woman, the first openly gay person.
The first black person, first openly gay person.
Becoming the first black person and first openly LGBTQ person to serve as White House press secretary.
Well, you got, if you didn't understand by now from all those clips of various newscasters, including not just newscasters, but opinionists and columnists and even Al Sharpton, the first black gay, whatever, on down the list. You got it now. We're going to get into examining Jean-Pierre a little bit later in the next hour, because she comes with a lot of baggage. A lot of baggage that you probably were not aware of. By the way, reference the issue about abortion, which the Democrats, I said, might give them a platform. Every poll I've gotten in front of me says voters are more concerned about rising energy costs than anything else. And Joe Biden addressed that yesterday. Or did he? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying if something wouldn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Look, I know you got to be frustrated. I know. I can taste it. Frustrated by high prices, by gridlock in Congress, by the time it takes to get anything done. Believe me, I understand the frustration. But the fact is, congressional Republicans, not all of them, but the mega Republicans are counting on you to be as frustrated by the pace of progress, which they have everything, they've done everything they can to slow down, that you're going to, will hand power over to them and enact so they can enact their extreme agenda. Look at their agenda.
I wish you the hell you would look at their agenda, Mr. President. You would find the GOP agenda would make us once again energy independent. I told you going into that break that Biden has to face some of these polls. The Rasmussen poll just released yesterday. 82% of likely U.S. voters are concerned about rising energy and gasoline prices. 60% very concerned. 34%, only 34%, think Congress and Joe Biden should focus on carbon dioxide emissions. In other words, don't give a rat's arse about the climate at this point. Let's get back to drilling and getting our oil industry back up. That's a major part of our infrastructure. Yes, COVID played a role. The shutdowns played a role. And then it got overextended because they had control and they're going to milk it. And they did. So when they talk about supply chain issues and everything else, it is not just by happenstance, it was basically put into place by them and continued. And then we have this issue, as I said, the inflation rate retreating a little bit in April, but still higher than forecast. We're still at a 40-year plus high. 8.5%, 8.6%, I think, is the exact number for April. And we're facing a dichotomy. Now, that's one of those words that you don't use that often, but you pretty well have an idea it is. But I'll go to a dictionary for you, and let's agree together on that it's smarter than either one of us. And that is basically a division or contrast between two things that are or are represented as being opposed or entirely different. One example, you group mammals, say they're all the same, and yet there are those that live on land and those that live in water. Well, they could both be a mammal, but they are different, obviously. The one that lives on land cannot live in the water, and the one in the water cannot live on the land. There's your dichotomy. So here's our dichotomy we have now. We have, at this point, an increasing number of Americans who have quit their jobs back in Feb. So the unemployment rate went up, and then it's beginning to draw back down. And right now, we still have 11.2 million openings. 11.2 million openings. We have 5 million more openings than available workers. There's basically 1.8 jobs for every person unemployed, not underemployed. There are many that would like to have a higher pay, so they've got to move up. But 1.8 jobs for every person unemployed. Now you think, well, Americans, you need to get in there and do that. But you better do it in a hurry because the billionaire Koch brothers network has come up with the Biden's U.S. Citizen and Immigration Service Agency rule that many work permit categories eligible for an auto extension are earmarked for illegal aliens. Illegals. So the border is wide open, illegals coming across, and as those jobs are going to be filled, they're going to give the work permits to illegal aliens, not the legal aliens who came here and are now trying to find a job near them or that will work with their time and their schedule and their family. There are a lot of reasons people make a job choice. You know that. And if it involves moving away from family or someone that needs you nearby. 12 million Americans are jobless. You find a lot of them in the streets of San Francisco and the streets of D.C. and elsewhere sleeping outside. You find them panhandling at corners, don't you? And you can tell them there's a job right down the street. They've got to sign up hiring, $15, $20 an hour with benefits. You want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. So they walk away. So they don't want to work. Well, that kind of attitude will catch up. It's going to put them in a position where they will wish they had, but it also works to the Democrats' advantage, the Marxist Democrats. They want everybody to be subject to the government and on the government teat. The tighter you clench your teeth onto that teat and suck that milk out, capitalism diminishes. And there are too many of them out there that don't think capitalism is good. They think everybody should have the same. Like BLM founder Patricia Kulores. Everybody should have the same. Oh, except that I get to have 6 different homes. That's where the rubber always hits the road. We're all going to be equal, but I'm going to be more equal. The border crisis has to be resolved. Heritage Foundation has come up with a plan they say could do it if Biden will pay attention. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Non-Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we do now a live stream at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com and the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, all one word. And those of you watching during that break, you were thinking, why is he crawling under the desk? Well, if you were watching, you know the answer, or maybe you don't. For the rest of you, not going to bother explaining. You just have to live with the fact it happened. We know we have a crisis at the border. The Biden administration has yet to admit it. And May 23rd is going to be a tsunami, a true human tsunami. The Heritage Foundation, in connection with numerous other groups, a coalition of border security, immigration groups, labor leaders, and so forth, just released a signed letter calling for Congress to abandon half measures to deal with that historic border crisis sparked by Joe Biden and his open borders policy. And joining us to discuss it in a little bit more detail, Laura Reese, Director of the Border Security and Immigration Center, Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation, 25 years experience in homeland and immigration issues. Laura, glad to have you back on board.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Well, this is a very extensive letter. I won't be able to give it full justice, but when it simply says, it says it provides a clear roadmap to help Congress put an end to the border crisis, I would want to sum it up in one sentence, is shut the damn border. But I know it's a little bit more extensive than that.
Yes, unfortunately, every Congress, a bill gets introduced that simply calls for more Border Patrol agents and then some sort of amnesty. And they label it comprehensive immigration reform, and it never passes. And if it did pass, it certainly wouldn't end the border crisis. Any amnesty begets more illegal immigration. And that is one of the items we have listed here, is to exclude amnesty of any type. But beyond that, Congress needs to close three loopholes that Trump administration officials have been calling for years, which is ending the single federal judge order that unaccompanied children and families can only be in immigration detention for 20 days, raising the credible fear standard because it is far too low and not aligned with the asylum standard, and stop treating unaccompanied children from Mexico and Canada, whom we send back, differently than everybody else in the world who we bring into the U.S., and then they stay here for years and are not removed.
No.
We also have a list of several other items, but the point is, Congress needs to go much farther if
yes.
they are going to get us out of this hole.
Let me drill down on a couple of those. One thing's about the family, and you say that you need to raise the standard. We have sanctuary policies. That's part of our immigration system. Those coming from Ukraine are coming in under sanctuary. Those coming out of Afghanistan that we help transport in as well, coming in true sanctuary. And there are true sanctuary issues, but just a fear of living where they are. They have been coached to say that, and at least Trump did have a stay in Mexico policy while we adjudicate. That also got stripped. So they know how to tell the lie. They know how to complete a family, bring a lot of people together and say, we're a family, we should come together, and then know that, yeah, 120 days, you got to let us go. They know all of this stuff.
Yes, and Congress really needs to clamp down on the asylum fraud. And it's very sad to say that this administration is exploiting more asylum fraud and inviting more of it by encouraging everyone who crosses the southern border to claim a credible fear and then to lower the standards so that the asylum officers get to yes faster. There is extensive backlog, both in the immigration court system due to so many fraudulent asylum claims, as well as the DHS immigration system. There's 1.5 million cases in the immigration court system.
What? 1.5 million. Okay.
That's just the DOJ.
Yeah.
In DHS, there are over 400,000 asylum cases pending among a backlog of over 8 million cases total.
And they continue to let it stay open, and they act like, well, it's not our fault. I mean, people want to have – and then you get this ridiculous statement from Jen Psaki at one time, well, they're not going to stay here long. What the hell was she smoking when she made that remark? I won't put that on you, Laura. I'll take that back. let me do bring up something I'd mentioned before you joined us. How DHS last week published without giving the American public any advance notice, which violates the Administrative Procedural Act, that basically many of the work permit categories eligible for an auto extension to stay in our country are earmarked for illegal aliens. In other words, they're going to do everything they can to keep them here. They're going to go ahead and make sure they have the JOB in addition to everything else.
Yeah, basically, illegal aliens want five things when they come here. They want to enter, they want to stay, they want to work, they want to send money home, and they want to bring family here. And so when the administrative state, as a knee-jerk reaction, gives work authorization cards to every category of illegal alien here, well, they're giving the illegal aliens exactly what they want for number three, which is to work here. And the applications for such cards are part of that 8.4 million case pending backlog at USCIS. And so the agency can't keep up. So what do? They just automatically extend it. So they're just giving illegal aliens exactly what they want, and it just keeps the flow coming.
Same thing dealing with inflation, just print more money. So the answer here is just get us more illegals and everything will be better. Pretty soon we'll be a northern territory of Mexico.
That's exactly right.
Now that this letter... Go ahead. Go ahead.
There are nationals from over 157 countries coming here. Obviously, Mexico is the easiest, but they are coming through Mexico. So the world has clearly gotten the message that... just come in illegally across the border. You can stay. The law won't be enforced. You won't be deported. You can work here and stay as long as you want.
And we had never really did do a good job of, quote, testing and COVID and everything. But come May 23rd, they dropped Title 42, the CDC rule that you could expel under a pandemic rule. And the White House had telegraphed that earlier, saying, well, what do we think? We're going to drop that probably by the end of May. And I think 2 or 3 days later, suddenly the CDC said, May 23rd. Just pick May 23rd. Plotting out, every step of the way has been plotted out to accelerate this issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, the administration gave 7 weeks notice to the smugglers and to the future illegal aliens to come here. So they are amassing in northern Mexico, waiting for the date to come, because they know it will be far easier to get across the border. When it takes a border agent 15 minutes to expel someone under Title 42, with that gone, it takes the border agent 2 hours to process them under normal immigration proceedings.
That's going to be
so the border will be wide open.
And the other issue is national security, homeland security, which you certainly know about with your experience. We're not vetting these folks when they come in. Many times there's nothing we can vet against what they have. And as you said, they're coming from countries that could have jihadists coming in here and joining and waiting on a call on a particular day to carry out jihad.
Yes, the administration has admitted to 42 known or suspected terrorists being apprehended. The Secretary Mayorkas couldn't answer at a hearing last week as to where those 42 are. When we have hundreds of thousands of gotaways who cross the border, how many more known or suspected terrorists are in that group? It is very frightening.
So this letter is going right into the hands of Congress and the White House, and I can almost hear it. I can almost hear it now. They're done with it. Are they going to do anything with it in the last 30 seconds or not?
Well, this is what we're looking for, are two conservatives and any Democrats who are brave enough to pass meaningful immigration reform to end the current border crisis and to prevent future illegal immigration.
Well, don't hold your breath. You guys already know that, but at least you're giving a roadmap. It would just follow the damn thing. I really appreciate it, Laura, as always. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Laura Reese, Heritage Foundation. And again, it's excellent points made. And in many cases, you say, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, but I guess unless you put it in front of them, and they still won't pay attention. And Joe Biden's numbers are continued to go down, down, down. Stand by. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location. Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. Let you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Adding another layer to this issue with illegals coming into the country and the job situation and inflation and everything else that all is packed together. I told you earlier that we have about 5.5 million more jobs and that are could be filled, but it's not being filled. And I also told you that they kind of snuck it under the door through DHS the other day to give green cards to illegals before they do it for anyone else. The latest Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll found 73% of Americans say their job prospects are being cut as a result of illegal immigration to the U.S. 73%. Now keep in mind, we have a flooded labor market from the mass migration that has a definite impact on the working class, especially on lower-skilled jobs. And yes, there are a lot of jobs being unfilled now, either because folks are not qualified and or some just don't want to work. They think the government will just keep sending them money. Inflation up for the 11th straight month above 5%, 8.5%. In March, 8.3% in April, so it dropped slightly. And Biden is trying to brag that, see, we're making progress. No, you're not. The national average price for both a gallon of regular gas and diesel breaking all-time records yesterday. That's 2 months after gas prices shattered records on five consecutive days. You know how it is if you're trying to put food on the table, and particularly those of you who actually do the buying. Food prices are up 9.4% compared to a year earlier, the fastest rate of inflation for food since 1981. Here's some of the striking price moves. Ground beef up almost 15%. Now, ground beef used to be a staple. Well, we can't get steak, but we always get ground beef. Ground beef's up 15%. Steak's up 12%. Bacon just under 18%. Chicken's up 16%. Fresh fish, 13%. Milk up 15%, baby food up 13%, lunch meats 14%, eating out, of course, is always an option, and you like to try to do that from time to time, and I hope you do, not just for my sponsor, Cafe Napoli, but other restaurants that are trying to keep their businesses going and help their employees. Fast food prices are up 7%, not as much as the others. Vending machine prices, you eating out of the vending machine, they're up 7% already. You see anything here that sounds promising? One number, 2024. One number ahead of that, 2022. You know what those numbers represent. In fact, candidates being backed by President Trump are now 58-1 in Republican primaries. But that's not where you're going to see the state-controlled media focusing. Trump is, again, in nominating and standing by and endorsing Republicans for primaries. 58 of them have won with his endorsement in their primary. One did not. That would be in Nebraska. Trump had endorsed Charles Herbster, a wealthy ag businessman. This is for the gubernatorial race. But he lost to another wealthy ag guy who currently serves as Nebraska's 3rd District on the Board of Regents. There were allegations near the end that Charles Herbster, some 6 to 8 women claiming and, you know, those kinds of things. Whether or not they're fact, I don't know, but the timing, that undid a lot of maybe what Trump was accomplishing. But Joe Biden, he's going to need a lifeboat. He's going to need a bigger boat, and then a bigger, bigger boat. And do you see any Democrat candidates calling him to come stand beside them and ride his coattails? Usually the sitting president, you want him there with you when you're campaigning. His approval rating is underwater in 46 states. 46. That includes his home state of Delaware. Well, there he's just barely, he's got his nose above the water. 50% in the state of Delaware disapprove of him. 40% approve, so 10% they can't make up their mind yet. I don't know how he could not make up their mind at this point. California, dark, dark, dark blue state. 47%. And he won California big. 47% disapprove of him. These are all surveys from CIVIQS, Rolling Job Average, evaluating all this. Mississippi, 62% disapproval. Missouri, 64% disapproval. Illinois, 47% disapproval. You know the four states that are holding him up? Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, Vermont. Overall, well, like I said, they're going to mock Trump that he couldn't pull out Nebraska, but you're not going to see the state-controlled media pointing out that Biden is, as I said earlier, going to need a bigger boat. Coming up, let's focus on this new White House press secretary coming in and the Minister of Truth. What a joke that is. Let your friends and family know we're on the air right now. Also, live streaming at rumble.com. We'll be back for the second hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.